This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Diana Furtscott-Roth, senior fellow at the Hudson Institute here in Washington, where she is also director of the Center for Employment Policy. She served as chief economist for the Department of Labor early on in the administration of President George W. Bush, and also as chief of staff of his Council of Economic Advisors. She's also a contributing editor to RealClearMarkets.com. The snow ended up being the big story here in Washington on Friday, but before it showed up, the job numbers were the big story, with the overall unemployment rate dropping to 9.7%. But again, in January, negative job numbers, a loss of about 20,000 jobs. And Diana, thanks so much for being with us.
It's great to be with you today. And I want to tell you that when I was chief economist with the U.S. Department of Labor between 2003 and 2005, we had job creation the whole 2 years.
And we'll get to the ingredients of that in a moment. Some people are wondering, first of all, Diana, how we got a 0.3% drop in the unemployment rate while the job losses continue to mount. Explain.
Because there are two different surveys. The household survey looks at workers who are employed or unemployed. That's a survey of 60,000 households. The households are called and asked, are you employed, are you unemployed, are you discouraged, are you looking for work? The Bureau of Labor Statistics bases the unemployment rate number. Then there's the payroll survey of 400,000 firms, where the firms are asked, how many workers do you have employed at your firm right now? That's the basis for the jobs loss number. One is a measure of workers. The other is a measure of jobs. So, for example, if a worker has two jobs, that's counted as two jobs in the payroll survey, but one case of employment in the household survey. Do you follow that?
I do. Is one more accurate than the other overall, a better picture of our economic health?
The establishment survey, the survey of employers, is more accurate because it's 400,000 employers versus 60,000 households. Furthermore, that is revised in two subsequent months, and then it's re-benchmarked once a year. So, in fact, this last report was when the establishment survey was benchmarked, and we found we had about 1 million fewer jobs than we thought over the past year.
And what does that tell us, that the number of jobs actually lost is significantly more than we thought? Does it tell us anything about where our economy is headed?
No, none of these tell us where our economy is headed, although it does tell us that it's going to be tough to be actually creating those jobs. We are having problems creating jobs. That's what these surveys are telling us, that even though we've had a high GDP growth rate, about 5 or 6% in the last quarter, employers still are not creating jobs. And that's something we should be troubled about. We need to look at why that is, and we need to fix it.
Diana, you mentioned when you were chief economist at the Department of Labor from 2003 to 2005, there was positive job creation, part of a long string of month-to-month job creation. Those who follow economic policy closely will remember that there were significant tax cuts in 2003. Is that the main reason for the job creation during that time, or what other factors were involved?
Yeah, I think that it's that there were stable there was a stable tax policy. These tax cuts had been put in place for 10 years, it was expected that Congress would renew them. I remember when they were put in discussions in 2001, we wanted to put them in permanently, but because of budget scorekeeping regulations, we couldn't do that. And I remember people saying, well, Congress is never going to raise taxes after that 10-year period. But sure enough, much to my surprise, Congress is talking about raising taxes, and in the middle of a recession, too. When we don't have positive job growth, we are probably technically not in a recession because GDP has risen for two successive quarters, but employers still are not creating jobs. One reason for that is the uncertainty. They don't know what the top tax rate is going to be January 1st, 2011. Congress is still talking about it. We don't know what environmental regulations are coming down the pike. The EPA is talking about regulating carbon as a pollutant, ratcheting up the permissible amount of ozone. In other words, ratcheting down the ozone up with the regulation. So it would be harder to have manufacturing plants, emissions from power plants, in order to comply with the regulations. So these are all amounts of uncertainty, not to mention the health care reform bill. The House version would have imposed an 8% payroll tax on employers who didn't provide the right kind of health insurance. That was up in the air all of last year, so there wasn't any certainty as regards that either.
Diana, is there any compromise on these issues that employers would look favorably upon, or do they basically want these pieces of legislation to go away?
I think employers want these pieces of legislation that raise their costs of hiring to go away. I think what would be good for employers' point of view is if the president said, we're not going to raise taxes until we see that employment growth has started. I think that would be very positive if that could be achieved.
You're obviously an economist, have been for a long time. I don't know if you saw the president's speech at one of his town hall meetings last week where he said, every economist, both on the left and on the right, agrees that his economic stimulus package helped bring the country back from the economic brink. Doesn't sound like you agree with that.
I don't know. And it's something that it's, I mean, it's very nice to say, but it's not exactly true. There is a famous French economist called Frédéric Bastiat who lived and wrote 150 years ago. And he wrote a piece called That Which Is Seen and That Which Is Unseen. Your listeners can find it at Bastiat, Bastiat.org. And That Which Is Seen are the jobs the government creates. In other words, the government raises revenues like ours did, send money to the states that say, oh, here's this number of jobs that we created. That which is unseen are the jobs that private employers don't make because they're taxed to pay for these government jobs that are very obvious. We don't count all those disappeared jobs. We don't count all the employers who actually do not hire because they are fearful of taxes going up in the future. They're fearful of the government deficit. They're fearful of an 8% payroll tax on their workers if they don't have the right kind of insurance. That's what we're not counting. The problem is that those disappeared jobs, we're not counting. The jobs, the few jobs that were created, we are counting. But the numbers don't lie. We've lost jobs over the past year. And the administration said that if we passed the $787 billion stimulus, unemployment wouldn't go above 8%. It went over 10%. So I think by any measure, the administration has failed with its stimulus package. And if the administration had been able to look into the future and say, Congress, a year after we passed the $787 billion package, we will not have created any net jobs and unemployment will be at 10%, they would not have voted for it.
Last 30 seconds, Diana, what do you foresee in the next couple of months jobs-wise?
We're going to have some jobs increases because the government is going to be hiring over 1 million workers for the 2010 census. And those are going to be employed through the end of 2010. The question is, after all these workers are laid off, as they will be at the end of the census period, whether we are going to have job creation in 2011 and what our job creation is going to look like then.
Diana, we'll be watching and talking to you about it, I'm sure. Thanks so much for your time today.
Oh, it's an honor to be on your show, Greg.
Thank you so much. Diana Furch-Scott-Roth, Senior Fellow at the Hudson Institute, Director of Hudson's Center for Employment Policy, former Chief Economist for the Department of Labor, also Chief of Staff for President George W. Bush's Council of Economic Advisors. She's also a contributing editor at RealClearMarkets.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.